Hi, and welcome to Solo Segment Search Chat. I'm Tim Peter. On this episode of Solo Segment Search Chat, Solo Segment CEO Steve Zaker and I discuss why Solo Segment thinks site search is so important. We talk about why site search plays such a critical role in your customer's experience on your website. And we discuss how it provides the first personalized experience your customers have and why that matters to growing your brand and your business. All that and more on the latest Solo Segment Search Chat, coming at you right about now. Well, hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well, Tim. Thanks very much.
Good to see you.
You as well.
We have a lot to talk about today. We were having a conversation the other day. You, Mike, and I were having a conversation, and it came up about, you know, why we do this. You know, what started Solo Segment? And I want to start by letting the audience know, you know, all 12 of you, that I want to start by saying we don't like to talk about ourselves. We would much rather talk about our customers. We would much rather talk about the benefits of search and things like that. We're going to get to that as this goes along. But as we were having the discussion about why we chose this, why Solo Segment focuses on search and why we think that matters, it led to some really interesting discussion and things that I think would be beneficial to the audience and beneficial to, you know, folks listening to this as to why we went this direction. So I'm going to kind of pitch it out to you. I know we're going to have a little more back and forth on this, but, you know, why search, Steve? Why do we do what we do?
Well, the first thing to, you know, that everybody needs to know, and it's probably like many of our customers, is we've been doing this for a while. And by this, I mean, you know, been in the digital space. I mean, I was with tech startups in the 90s, you know, so very early when kind of the web was just becoming a thing. You know, you, of course, were very early in the financial services industry and then again in hospitality in digital. And Mike Moran, kind of the other co-founder, you know, he's been in digital since the earth cooled. And, you know, I think the thing that we've realized, and anybody who's been in this space for more than about a week realizes that, you know, it's really hard, right? It's really, really hard to create digital experiences that are compelling. And, you know, one of the reasons that I think that marketers, you know, so much focus on like landing pages and kind of very structured journeys is because it simplifies the problem, right? If you can get somebody to raise their hand, come to a page and say, this is what I'm interested in, and I'm going to click this button to give you a call to action, a signal that I'm ready. Like, that's awesome because it's really a simple thing. Right. You can put a box around it. You can manage it. What's really hard is to have a website with 100,000 pages, 2.2 million visitors a month, and to try to figure out when somebody just plops into a page from Google, some random page on your website, or starts at the homepage, how do you engage them and progress them? And I mean, it's a really hard problem, but because again, 2.2 million people show up every month and you don't know like anything about them, what their context is.
Right.
And you try to solve it essentially through, well, we're going to figure out the user experience and do some design and that will, you know, kind of help people find their way. And as we all know, it doesn't always work out that way.
Well, yeah, you and I were talking about this before we started recording. And, you know, it's this fascinating thing. You said a line that I'm going to expand on. So first I need to give you credit for the line. And the line was, there is no navigation item you're going to create that's going to point people to every single answer that they're looking for.
Right.
Apart from search. Right. But there is no item you're going to put in the navigation. I have probably over the course of my career, as you mentioned, I started at Charles Schwab back in the mid-90s, all through the dot-com boom and things like that. And I worked for a bunch of travel and hospitality companies for over a decade, obviously. in the years since with lots of companies across a variety of industries. And I've probably participated in, a couple of hundred website redesigns over that 25-year span. And pre and post many of those designs, those redesigns, we did surveys of the customers. And we, you know, obviously one of the questions is, what's the single biggest problem you had in your visit today?
Sure.
And almost to a one, the number one problem people had was, I can't find the content I'm looking for. I can't find the answer to the question I have. That was the biggest problem they had.
Right.
And after every website redesign I've done, where we've done these same studies, you know, all of the business results got better. Conversion rates went up. Time on page went up. Time on site went up. Business results got better. All of the things you look at as success measures got better. And then we would survey people, and the number one problem they would have, again, almost to a person, was, I couldn't find the information that I'm looking for.
Sure.
Because when you're talking about, you know, the biggest site I ever ran, the biggest sites I ever ran, we were getting 250,000, 300,000 sessions a day, mm-hmm. right? So we were getting 6 million, 7 million people a month to the site, you know, right? 7 million people showing up over the course of the month, they have, you know, a slight variety of questions.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And there's literally nothing you're going to put up in the header. There's nothing in the masthead. There's mm-hmm. nothing in the main navigation. There's nothing in the footer that is right. going to account for all of the possible use cases that those 7 million people have,
yeah.
except for search. And so yeah, I think it's very much what you were saying about, you want to find ways to get people to what they want, and search seems to be the best way to do that. We're just trying to create better experiences for customers that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is, I mean, that is the thing that we bring, you know, take from our experience, is that when you think about all the tools that are available to marketers in order to solve the engagement problem, especially in B2B, search is a very useful tool because you don't have to guess what somebody's interested in.
Right.
They tell you. And, right. you know, you, I think you've said in the past, you know, search is the first personalized experience on a B2B website. Now, let's talk for a moment about personalization, because some would say, well, if 2 million people come to my website every month, if I can only find out some information about them, I could deliver a personalized mm-hmm. experience. And that is absolutely true. But in B2B, the reality is the vast majority of the people, it's low signal digits or who are identifiable. So 90, 95% of the folks who come to your website are unidentifiable. It only gets worse as cookies expire, right? Mm-hmm. And those cookie expiration dates are coming in. And so, you know, you always come back, whether it was 10 years ago or it's today, you come back to, if you really nail search, you are going to get lower bounce rates. You're going to get higher conversion. You're going to get more journey progression. And that is a fundamental truth. And that is why when we began to think about how do we solve this large enterprise's B2B engagement problem, you know, we came back to again and again that site search is the place where this battle is going to be won or lost. Because if you can engage in site search and you can progress them, you're going to get those conversions that you seek.
Yeah. And I think you have a stat that you use all the time. So I'm going to ask you to actually give the stat because I don't want to get it wrong. But the thing that we found that was fascinating to me, right, we've just described one of the reasons we thought this was interesting was the fact that the web experiences that many people have are terrible, right? They're yeah. just not, they're not delivering on what they want, no matter how well you do it, right? Even mm-hmm. if your business metrics look good, you're still struggling with that. Mm-hmm. And then we looked at search experiences and found when people ask the question, often they're worse. So can you just talk a little bit about, you know, what do you typically see in terms of search success rates that led us to say, this is a thing that we need to make better?
Yeah. So, you know, the first thing we did was we figured out a metric to measure search success, because that's something that, you know, is eluded marketers, right? Like, you know, there's a search thing. How do we know whether people are finding things? And traditionally how marketers have measured search is it's the clicks or the number of people using search, right?
Yep.
Okay. You know, that is the metric of the value. And well, of course, particularly
in B2B, right, where there's not a shopping cart that they can see that the person bought the thing, right? B2B, B2C or e-commerce has kind of solved this problem because they know whether or not somebody bought. In B2B, less so. So please go on from there. Sorry.
Yeah. So in that B2B experience, we tried to figure out a way to measure search. And what we figured out was measuring search is actually not the way to understand search success. Measuring what happens after the search is how to measure search success. And the consumer example of this is, well, if somebody does a search and they drop something in a cart, well, that's a pretty good signal that they found what they were looking for. In B2B, you don't often find that. Maybe you get lucky in that they hit a contact form and they filled it out. Okay, that's clearly a successful interaction. But how do you measure all of those interactions that don't end in an event?
Yeah.
That they're part of a longer-term, multi-visit journey where somebody's becoming informed and they're progressing along a journey so that they can eventually engage with you. And so looking at, you know, that first step was, how do you measure search success? And the way you measure search success is you look at the behavior signals you're getting after somebody searches as a signal. And the number is about 70% at best fail, which is stunning. If you think,
right. If you're doing it well, 7 out of 10 fail.
7 out of 10, if you're doing it well. And we've seen people that we've started with, we implement our technology, we take a baseline on their legacy search engine, and it's sometimes 9 out of 10.
Right.
And so the fact that like 1 in 10, 2 in 10, 3 in 10 are finding what they're looking for, I think is shocking to people when they hear especially given the fact, kind of another data point that I like to talk about a lot, is that searchers are 87% more likely to convert than non-searchers, to engage with some sort of marketing call to action.
Right.
Now, is that because search is so great? And that, no, it's because these are your most engaged prospects, right?
Right.
These
they're committed. They know what they want. Committed. They know what they're looking for. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, especially if they're willing to use your lousy search engine. you know that they really want to do business with them. Just meet them halfway and give them an awesome search experience.
And when we say your, Steve, of course we mean all of the people listening to us today have a spectacular search experience. But if you don't, you should really check us out at SoloSegment.com.
You bet.
But nonetheless, well, you were saying.
Yes, I'm going to reiterate, 7 in 10 fail. And so, and by the way, we love it when we run into a client, and we occasionally do. We have this one client, they're about $100 million business. And when we first instrumented their search engine and in preparation for implementing our search engine, half of the searches were successful.
Right. Right.
And we thought something was broken because we've never seen this before, right? We've never seen half be successful.
Right.
And as we peeled back, like, what's going on here? Turns out our technology actually works. Good for us. but what was going on there was that they are kind of blessed with like a very standard set of kind of content type. It's all long form, text based. It's like, it's just delicious for a search engine to consume and to spit out. And, indeed, they kind of exist in a content space that is, where delivering good search results is relatively easy. Now we've helped make them better.
Sure.
So we've improved their search results about 10%. So we're pretty proud of that. But at the other end of the spectrum, most companies have a great diversity of content. I was talking to a company this morning, and we did kind of a little test on their search engine in the call, and it just we did a couple of queries. And every time we did a query, these blog posts or these articles appeared, and their product content, they're all the stuff, honestly, that prospects, people you want to do business with are interested in, were way down the page. And the reason is because their search engine is tuned to have a bias towards that real rich content and not towards maybe content that's more meaningful in a prospect's journey. And part of that is because of the data they capture and the way they index it and the way their search engine works. And so having a technology, having a point of view, having data that helps you really understand the customer experience, what success looks like to a customer, and being able to deliver that, That's how you get great success, integrating that data into the search experience. And that's what drives us.
Yeah.
Like when we wake up every morning, we're trying to think about what data can we get about the search experience? What data can we get about the features that we're deploying so that we can demonstrate, prove to ourselves, prove to our clients that when we deploy a new capability, that it makes the search experience better. And that, again, is at the end of the day, is like what is driving a superior customer experience? It's just everything we focus on.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense. It makes total sense. I mean, it is a very frustrating thing. I know we've had this experience where you as a customer, picture yourself as a customer for a second, but you go to a thing, you know what you're looking for. You know that the company makes the thing. You do a search for the thing and you get a page that has something, you know, obliquely to do with the thing you're talking about. But isn't the thing, you know, finding that content is remarkably challenging. You were talking about this in another episode we did recently. I don't remember if it was our last episode or the one prior, where you were talking about, you know, sometimes it's a content problem. Sometimes you just don't have the content. But we also see plenty of cases where people have the content, but because of the way their search engine is tuned, or because of the search engine that they're using, or how it tends to give precedence to certain types of content, the actual answer might be the eighth or ninth one down the page in a good scenario, you know, when it's on page two or three in the really ugly scenarios.
Yes.
And I know that drives us nuts, because these are the people who we know buy from you. These are people that you know buy from you. And they're telling you what they want, and you're saying, sorry, bummer.
Right.
And, you know, everybody loses in that scenario.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the frustrating thing is that, you know, you are essentially writing off, you know, it's probably not a huge percentage of your visitors, but it's enough for them that they matter, especially given the intent, the increased intent that we see from them.
Right.
You know, as I think about, you know, kind of our journey and our initial, you know, point of view on this, one of the things that's frustrating as a search technology buyer is that a lot of vendors focus on features and not on outcomes.
Yeah.
And part of what also drove us to think about what does search success actually look like is, you know, I used to be a technology buyer and I want to focus on how do I deliver better outcomes. Mm-hmm. Now, I'd love to have a search engine that I could, you know, kind of quantify how many sales you got, you know, last quarter because of search. Now, tremendously hard to do in B2B because there's no attribution, right? Things are usually sold by field salespeople or phone salespeople. So it's hard to kind of pull that thread. But, you know, this focus on how far can we get down that path in understanding what actions lead to, you know, more positive outcomes. That's our goal, right? It's an outcome focus versus a feature focus. Now, we certainly have features in our technology, but at the end of the day, you know, what buyers want, what technology managers want, what marketers want is not great features. They want great outcomes. And that's what a focus on search success allows you to do, is to focus on the outcomes, not only for the people on your website, but also for the people, you know, who need to report to their boss about, you know, how well they did last quarter.
Well, and that's why we like to talk about not search results, business results.
Yeah, indeed.
I mean, not to do our commercial, but I mean, we're coming to that part of the show where it's okay to do a commercial. But I mean, it is that reality of it. It isn't about search results, and we're trying to create great experiences, but we're trying to create great experiences in the service of a business outcome. You know, my favorite stat, I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and it goes to what you were talking about a minute ago, where, you know, customers are asking you for the thing that they need. And, you know, Google reported its quarterly earnings a couple of months ago. They're going to be coming out with their Q3 earnings any day now, but they're not out yet at the time we're recording this. And their revenues for Q2 were $62 billion, right?
Sure, that's a good number.
And almost all of those came from ads. I shouldn't say search ads. Almost all of those came from ads. A big chunk of that came from search ads.
Yeah.
But How did they do that? Because they answered the question. So if right. you want a model for what to do right, I don't know, $62 billion in a quarter yeah. seems like a reasonable model to try to aim for. Yeah. So to me, that's an important, you know, learning to say Google didn't get there because they were giving people bad answers. They didn't get there because they were failing 7 times out of 10. They didn't get there mm-hmm. because they were failing 7 times out of 10 with people who were twice as likely to buy as people who weren't.
Right.
That to me is a powerful statement.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that some B2B marketers are frustrated by, especially as they think about search, is, you know, they recognize that it's a really bad experience. They may even recognize the value of it, but they struggle with, well, gee, if 2, 3, 4% of my visitors are using it, why should I make the investment? Why should I focus on this? And unfortunately, part of the reason, right, this is like, you know, a circular thing, right? Because if you don't focus on it, you train your visitors
That's right.
to have an awful, like to think about it as an awful experience so that they won't use it, so that they will continue to struggle, you know, and it's just this kind of death spiral to your website. And, you know, you're not going to kind of connect with those 2.2 million customers you visit every month if you don't solve that problem.
Well, and it, you know, one of the big myths I think we've all learned in digital over the years, you know, there's this mistake that people have made, and we've all made it, of if you build it, they will come. Well, no, that's mm-hmm. not always true. If you build it, that doesn't necessarily guarantee that they come. Yeah. What is also true is if you don't build it, we can guarantee they won't come. Right.
Right.
Precisely to your point. You know, if you're not putting any emphasis on making search better, don't be shocked that your customers aren't using it.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, that whole idea of making the investment and kind of betting on the come, right? That you're going to see the results. And it does require a little bit, like everything in IT and everything, honestly, in marketing, right? It always requires a leap of faith.
Right.
You know, one of our clients, and I can use their name because they did a case study with us, ASME, the American Society of Mechanical Engineers. And, you know, they started with us a little over 3 years ago. They're still with us. We're still their search engine of choice. And they started with a very challenging search environment, and it's mm-hmm. progressed over time. We've measured the improvement because we have the metrics that can do that. And we've used that data to make their search engine better automatically. And what's really interesting is, you know, when they started, they had, like everybody does, that little magnifying glass in the upper right corner. And we said, you know, hey, you got to make your search box better, mm-hmm. bigger, because you make your search box bigger, people will use it. And if search is better, people will use it more. Mm-hmm. So much so that today, in their latest redesign, which happened a couple of months ago, the search box is in the middle of their homepage.
Yeah.
When you load their homepage, there's a hero image and there's a search box.
Yep.
Because they recognize the power of search, the power to connect people to the thing that they want. And that the easiest way to do that is not through some multi-layered 500 choices, you know, navigation menu, is to having really good search that allows people to find the thing that's going to satisfy their need, that's going to help them grow their business, and of course, help ASME grow their business.
That sounds like a great place to stop, Steve. Before we wrap up, if I could just ask you to bring it home. If somebody asks you, why do you do this? Why does Solo Segment do what they do? What's the answer to that question?
We want to help our customers grow their business. And we want to do that with the technology that is most powerful in helping them do that. Site search is the answer to all user experience problems. If you can have somebody ask you a question, you don't have to wonder what the answer is. Use a data-driven approach. Deliver the right answer to them so that they can progress on your journey and so that your business grows.
Fantastic. Steve, as ever, a delight speaking with you. Look forward to catching up with you next time.
Thanks very much, Tim. Take care.
Search Chat is brought to you by Solo Segment. Solo Segment focuses on site search analytics and AI-driven content discovery to improve search results, increase customer satisfaction, and unlock revenue for your company. Make your search better and learn more at solosegment.com. If you liked the show, please go ahead and subscribe to us. You can find our episodes at solosegment.com/podcast or on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Podcasts, or whatever your favorite podcatcher happens to be. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/solosegment, on Twitter using the Twitter handle at solosegment, or you can drop us an email at info@solosegment.com. Again, that's info@solosegment.com. With that, my name is Tim Peter. I hope you have a great rest of the week, and we'll look forward to talking with you next time on Search Chat. Take care, everybody.